It's been 10 years since Lorena McKennitt's Book of Secrets album came out, and now we have a new one called An Ancient Muse, which expands on her Celtic influences to include music from the Middle East and beyond. She's here to play live, and I asked her, of course, about that 10-year gap. What was going on?
Well, as they say, life sort of happens. I think the most significant thing that occurred after the release of the Book of Secrets and our touring was my partner had died in a boating incident. And it took me, you know, some time to make my way through that, as well as I set up a water safety fund after that event. And then I actually got involved into something that I really hadn't anticipated or intended, and that was I ended up purchasing a heritage school in Stratford, Ontario, where I live, and helped transform it into a family centre. So I'm still the proud owner of operator of a family centre in Stratford. Starting in about 2000, I started making some journeys in preparation for the next recording. And those early journeys took me to Turkey and incidentally to Jordan. And then peppered along the next several years were further journeys to Greece and Mongolia and China and Morocco. And so all of that takes time, and as well as the writing. And we spent about a year off and on in the studio. And so here we are.
Well, an Ancient Muse, if people are not familiar at this point, the weird thing that ties all those places together is the Silk Road. And your interest has always been in the Celts and the spread of Celtic culture. And what was the Celts' relation to the Silk Road and those journeys?
Well, it was interesting. In 1991, I attended an exhibition in Venice that was the most extensive exhibition ever assembled on the Celts. And a lot of artifacts that had been a part of the ex-Soviet Union had come forward into this exhibition. And it was as a result of that that I learned that the Celts were much more than this mad collection of anarchists from Scotland and Ireland and Wales. But they were actually a vast collection of tribes that had fanned out across Europe and even into Asia Minor. So, for example, there's a number of Celtic connections throughout Turkey. Let's say St. Paul's letters to the Galatians, or the Galatians were the early Celts. And I was to an archaeological site outside of Ankara. So once one ends up in that part of the world, you're sort of interfacing with a geography and a history that also buttresses up against the Silk Road. And although I didn't spend nearly as much time as I would have loved to delving into various aspects of the Silk Road, it certainly featured in the recordings, in this recording.
Lorena McKennitt is our guest, and one of the pieces we've had a chance to play, and it kind of definitely gets the Celtic and Eastern aspect of these recordings in, is Caravanserai. Talk a little bit about how this one came about.
Well, caravanserais were sort of fortified structures peppered along various merchant routes, including the Silk Road. I've seen a few in Turkey. Some of them are intact and others are in ruins. But they were essentially fortified inns where traveling merchants would stop for the night or a couple of nights with their livestock or their goods. They would be divided into the winter section and the summer section, and the summer section had no roof, for example. And the other, and one side of each of those sections would be devoted either to their livestock and the other side to where people would stay. And sometimes it'd even be a mosque within the central part of the courtyard. And there would be bazaars that would spring up around these places. Again, sort of like these magnets of places where people who are traveling all seem to bundle together. So that's what the caravanserais are or were. I was particularly interested in it, even from a thematic point of those people who travel all the time. And it seems, as we're perched to go out on the road for about 3 or 4 months, the whole notion of what is home and what you feel when you're traveling is very close to my heart at that moment. And I think the concept of home is also embodied in the broader concept concept of one's identity and how culture and your cultural elements feed that. So this song, the lyrics are very, shall I say, modest in terms of the representing what was on my mind when I was writing the song, but it really surrounds this rumination on home and identity and moving and those things.
And this is a special mix that might sound a little different than what our World Cafe listeners have heard of Caravanserai. Caravanserai, that is Lorena McKennitt, our guest today, in a special mix of that kind of a centerpiece from An Ancient Muse, her new album, which is out on Quinlan Road Records, which actually going back to the very beginning, before there was anything, there was Quinlan Road. And Lorena, I'd just like to talk a little bit about where your ability to think ahead business-wise, to be so independent comes from. I'm curious as to what your parents did.
I think actually it's a very Celtic streak.
Do you?
It's a kind of stubbornness, or a kind of, I mean, maybe that's being too flippant about it, but I think it really happened more out of default than by design, because I became interested in Celtic music in the late 70s, actually, in early 80s. And I put out my first recording in 1985. I'd always wanted to be a veterinarian, and I maintained music chose me rather than me it. But over the years, from 85 to 89, I produced three recordings independently before interfacing with a major record company. And then in 89, 90, the success as an independent reached a point where it seemed appropriate to join forces with a major record company. But by that time, I had already had three recordings under my belt. I knew more or less what I was doing, and I had developed the financial wherewithal to do it. So the kind of business arrangement that I was looking for as an artist, or would have been open for, didn't seem to be, like the other side didn't seem to be walking in the door. Let's say, for example, management that was wanting or willing to take on an artist who had already built up this kind of infrastructure for themselves. So even though over a number of years after that, when I'd go down to my record company in Los Angeles and they would be trying to set me up with managers and I'd be meeting them like I was going on blind dates, but it never really quite felt like it fit well. So I continued to build my own infrastructure of staff and offices, and now it's, you know, it just is what it
right. is. Well, it seems prescient in some way. It just seems great to be doing it this way, and it probably works a lot better for you now at this point. So,
well, I think it does insofar as the music industry has changed so drastically, and being independent and having developed that capacity has allowed me flexibility and dexterity to survive in a rather challenging times.
Now, you mentioned those earliest albums that you put out. Could you possibly do something very, very early in your career for us?
Yes, today? Absolutely. I do the Stolen Child. It's a Yeats poem that I set to music. And W.B. Yeats was an Irish poet who was very much involved in the resurgence of Irish nationalism around the turn of the 20th century. And he came from County Sligo, so the Stolen Child.
The world's more full of weeping than
the poetry of William Butler Yeats is put to the music of our guest today, Lorena McKennitt. And that goes all the way back to elemental, right?
Yes, 1985. Those early years, I was trucking around Ireland, tracking down the music in its most indigenous situations in pubs and kitchens, and it was great.
Well, you know, that what you did with that is something you've continued to do, thinking of Lady of Shalott or the English Lady in the Night on the new album, the lyrics of Sir Walter Scott, and you've put it to music. What attracts you to that kind of across the centuries collaboration?
Well, I think a part of it stems from the fact that I don't personally feel my lyric writing is the best thing I do. But furthermore, it's nice to have different perspectives or in the body of a recording. And also, I gravitate to these long narrative tales often, not exclusively, but and often within them, whether it's The Lady of Shalott or The Highwayman, for example, the imagery is so strong. And it's usually that imagery that I've bounced off of from in a creative sense. So it is it's a kind of multimedia collaboration.
Well, it's interesting. You were talking about doing Penelope's Song, which is another piece from An Ancient Muse. And this isn't, you don't actually take Homer's words in this, but this came to you in Greece, or it came to you from reading the Odyssey?
What I did a couple of springs ago, I parked myself in this glorious bed and breakfast on the island of Chios, which is right across a very short, brief piece of water to Turkey, and the orange blossoms were out, and it was gorgeous. And I holed myself up in this garden house in this orange orchard, listening to an audio book version of Homer's Odyssey, as well as reading a wonderful book by Thomas Cahill called Why the Greeks Matter. And so it was on the suggestion of a friend of mine, actually. She said, well, you might want to pick a corner of this story that might not be so obvious, including maybe possibly Penelope's point of view. So I tried to create a song that captured a universal sentiment of people leaving and then people waiting or left behind.
And which fits right in with the theme of travel. So this is Penelope's Song.
Like a
Lorena McKennitt on the World Cafe today with a Penelope song, another one from an ancient muse, with Hugh Marsh on the violin and Brian Hughes on the guitar, and Lorena at the piano for that. Just gorgeous.
Thank you.
You talked about getting ready to go out on tour and all that entails. I'll bet your fans are in some ways a mite unusual. Do they embrace your Celtic journey a lot, or what is there anything that kind of ties them together?
Well, I've thought about this myself, because when we study or examine who comes to the performances or some of the in-stores and so on, there does seem to be a wide demographic going on, whether it's in age, but even in musical tastes, etc. We've got some serious heavy metal fans in the picture, as well as people who are into classical music and folk. But I think for me, the thread of continuity, or at least one of them, is actually a fairly healthy curiosity. And I know that it's something I'm afflicted with, and I think some other people kind of experience things vicariously through my journey, and might initially be through the mechanism of the music, but we also see a lot of evidence that people are interested in some of the history and subjects that I'm ruminating on as well.
I love the series of Venn diagrams that have the heavy metal and the classical fans meeting with Lorena McKennitt. I love it. But Lorena McKennitt is our guest today, and she is, I don't believe Brian Hughes is playing any heavy metal guitar today, but we do have another performance. What would you like to do?
We thought we'd do a piece that comes from The Visit. It's a song called Bonnyport Moor. And it was a traditional piece that I hadn't heard before, and I thought I had been fairly acquainted with the traditional repertoire. And I think what was also unusual or unique about the song is that it seems to touch on almost in a kind of environmental concern, at least from the tree's standpoint. So this is a piece that comes from actually northern part of Ireland. It's called Bonnyport Moor.
Bonnyport Moor, you shine while you stand, and the more I think on you, the more I think long. If I had you now as I had once before, all the lords of old England would not purchase power. More, I am sorry to see such a woeful destruction of your ornament tree, for it stood on your shores for many's the long day to the
Lorena McKennitt in a live version of the Bonnie Portmore you may remember from The Visit. So having a chance to talk with Lorena about her new album, Ancient Muse, and hear some wonderful performances today. Lorena, I thank you so much for taking time, and best of luck on your travels to play, as opposed to your travels to play.
Yes, thank you so much. It's been great to. I wish we were there in person, but thank you so very much. It's been a great pleasure.
Lorena McKennitt, my guest, and we'll be back in a moment here in the World Cafe.